to the unlikely in Israel, Acts 8, verse 4 to 9:43. The apprentices of Jesus, who had been driven out of Jerusalem, declared the gospel of the Creator's rule everywhere they went. Philip, who was one of the seven men designated to distribute the resources of the community, entered the city of Samaria, which rejected the temple in Jerusalem. There Philip began proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah and chosen ruler. When they saw the miraculous signs of new creation surrounding Philip's work, the crowds began attentively listening to his preaching on the life and teachings of Jesus. Many were being liberated from the spiritual forces of civilization, and many were being rescued from their physical and social paralysis and bondage. This caused great joy to spread throughout the city. A man named Simon had previously enthralled Samaria through his powerful acts of magic, while claiming to be a special gift from the Creator. All the people, from the poor to the rich, were fascinated by him, saying, "This man, who is called the Great One, possesses the very power of the Creator." Because his magic had been captivating the crowds for quite a while, Simon was very popular among the people of the city. But when Philip declared the gospel, the message of the Creator's rule through Jesus, the Messiah and chosen ruler, many people began being baptized into a new life of radical trust in the Creator. During this time, even Simon was baptized, and he followed Philip around in amazement at the miracles and powers being done through him. When the representatives in Jerusalem heard that many in Samaria had embraced the word of the Creator, they sent Peter and John Zebedee to them. They went there in order to beg to the Creator to fill these new apprentices with his Spirit and to form them into a new community. Having only been baptized with water and not with the Creator's Spirit, the apprentices in Samaria were still holding on to their possessions and living individualistic lives. So Peter and John Zebedee laid their hands upon these followers of Jesus and formed them into a radical new community filled with the Creator's Spirit. Watching this happen and seeing the Creator's Spirit come upon those who gave their possessions to the community, Simon brought some money to them, saying, "I want to buy this power and authority as well, so I can give the Creator's Spirit to those I touch." Peter said to him, "You and your money will be destroyed, because you think the Creator's gifts can be bought with money. There is no place for you in the Creator's community, for your heart, mind, and life are not focused on the way of Jesus. Therefore, you need to leave your old ways behind and beg the Creator to liberate your heart and mind. For it is clear that you are still a slave to civilization's poisonous ways of thinking and living." Responding, Simon said, "Please beg to the Creator on my behalf, so that I will be spared this fate." After spending some more time there teaching the way of Jesus and being examples of faithfulness, Peter and John Zebedee returned to Jerusalem. On the way there, they declared the gospel throughout the villages of the region of Samaria. Meanwhile, a messenger from the Creator spoke to Philip, saying, "Get up! At midday you need to be on the road that leads through the wilderness from Jerusalem to Africa." Philip obeyed, and on that road he saw a castrated man of very dark skin who worked for the queen of Ethiopia and was in charge of her treasury. This man was a fringe Israelite who had been in Jerusalem to worship, but because he was castrated he was not allowed in the temple. He was now heading back to Africa in his chariot while reading the prophet Isaiah. The Creator's Spirit said to Philip, "Go join this man on his chariot." So Philip ran over to him and heard him reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The Ethiopian said, "How can I properly understand unless someone guides and teaches me?" So he begged Philip to come sit with him in the chariot. He was reading from the 53rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah. "Like a sheep brought to the butcher, and like a lamb being shaved, he was silent and did not open his mouth to defend himself. Because of his poverty and low status in the eyes of men, he was denied justice. What can be said about a culture that would kill a man like him?" The castrated man said to Philip, "Please tell me, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Beginning with this text, Philip declared the gospel and taught the way of Jesus to the man. During this time of learning, their chariot came by some water, and the Ethiopian man said, "Look, water! Is there any reason I cannot be baptized and join this new way of life?" When Philip did not resist, the Ethiopian ordered the chariot to stop. Then they both entered the water, and Philip baptized him, marking his break with his old life and his entrance into the new life and story of walking with Jesus. After he baptized the Ethiopian man, the Creator Spirit called Philip to another task. So the Ethiopian man parted ways with him and continued his journey, rejoicing in the new way of life he was bringing back to Africa. Philip was then led to the Mediterranean Sea and declared the gospel of Jesus to all the cities on the coast, till he came to the Roman capital of the region, Caesarea. Meanwhile, Saul, who was still threatening, arresting, and killing the apprentices of the Lord Jesus, went to the Roman-appointed leader of the temple caretakers. Saul asked him to write letters to the synagogues in the province of Syria, especially to those in the city of Damascus. Saul wanted permission to arrest and bring back to Jerusalem any men or women who were found following the way of Jesus. Receiving these letters, Saul journeyed to Damascus in the spring of 35 AD. As he approached the city, a light from heaven suddenly flashed all around him. Falling to the ground, Saul heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting and hunting me down?" Saul said, "Who are you, Lord?" He replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting and hunting down. I am alive and present in my followers and community. Get up, go into the city, and listen to the commands you are given." The men traveling with Saul were frozen in fear. They heard the voice, but saw no one. When Saul got up off the ground, his eyes were open, but he couldn't see anything. So Saul was led by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days, Saul shared in the death of Jesus and experienced a radical break from his old life. He was completely blind and did not eat or drink anything. Meanwhile, the Lord Jesus appeared in a vision to one of his apprentices in Damascus named Ananias. Jesus said to him, "Ananias." Ananias responded, "I am here and at your service, Lord." Then the Lord Jesus said to him, "Get up, go to the house of Judah on Straight Street. There you will find Saul from Tarsus spending time in prayer. I have revealed to him that a man named Ananias is coming to welcome him into my community and open his eyes to my truth." Ananias answered, "But Lord, I have heard from many people that he has caused great pain and suffering among your community in Jerusalem. On top of that, he has come here with the authority of the temple caretakers to arrest and imprison all those who obey your way of life." The Lord Jesus said to him, "Go. I love my enemies, and I want them to turn back to me. Therefore, I have chosen this man to carry my way and teachings to the nations, to the rulers of the earth, and to the children of Israel. He will learn very quickly how my way and teachings bring suffering and rejection from civilization." So Ananias obediently went to the house to embrace Saul and welcome him into the community of Jesus. Ananias said, "Brother Saul, you are now part of the family and community of Jesus. The Lord Jesus, who confronted you on the road, sent me to open your eyes to his truth and fill you with his presence through the Creator Spirit." Immediately, something like scabs fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see the Creator's truth for the first time. He got up and was baptized into the community and story of the way of Jesus. With the community of apprentices in Damascus, he started feeding on the bread of life, the word and teachings of Jesus, and through it he was strengthened and nourished. Energized in this new life, Saul immediately began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues of Damascus, saying, "Jesus is the child of the Creator we have been waiting for." All who heard him preaching were beside themselves, saying, "Isn't this the man who was killing the apprentices of Jesus in Jerusalem? The man who came here to our city so he could arrest Jesus' followers and take them back to the leaders of the temple caretakers?" Saul was empowered by the Creator's Spirit, but his bold preaching angered those who were devoted to the Jerusalem temple. Everything Paul said and taught ended with this conclusion: "This Jesus is the Messiah and chosen ruler of the earth." After a long period of time, those who were devoted to the Jerusalem temple were so fed up that they wanted to kill Saul. But they were closely watching the gates of the city and waiting to arrest and kill Saul. Their schemes and plots were discovered. Learning of the threat, the apprentices of Jesus took Saul and lowered him down the city wall in a basket. So in the fall of 37 AD, Saul returned south in the hope that the apprentices of Jesus in Jerusalem would welcome him. But they were afraid of Saul and did not trust that he was a genuine apprentice of Jesus. Barnabas stood up for Paul and brought him before the 12 representatives. There Barnabas explained to them that Saul had encountered the resurrected Lord Jesus and then had preached the way of Jesus in Damascus so boldly that they wanted him dead. Trusting Barnabas's testimony, the representatives welcomed Saul, and he joined them in boldly teaching and living the way of the Lord Jesus. Saul began engaging with those who lived in the ways of Greek culture, but they rejected his message and wanted to kill him. When the community realized this, they got Saul out of town and took him into the Roman capital of the region, Caesarea. Then they sent him on a boat back to his hometown of Tarsus toward the end of 37 AD. Following the conversion of their greatest enemy, Saul, the community of Jesus experienced a time of great peace and spiritual growth. By living in the fear of the Lord and in obedience to the Creator's Spirit, the community continued to multiply and spread. While Peter was traveling around preaching the gospel of the Creator's rule, he eventually visited the apprentices living in Lydda, a town about 30 miles northwest of Jerusalem. In that town, there was a man named Aeneas, who had been paralyzed for 8 years. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus, the Messiah and chosen ruler of the earth, is healing and liberating you. Get up and stand firm in your new life." Aeneas immediately obeyed and stood up. Seeing this man's life transformed, a great many in the region changed their lives and turned in obedience to the Lord Jesus. In the nearby town of Joppa, on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, there was an apprentice of Jesus named Tabitha, who obediently followed the teachings of Jesus by generously and sacrificially giving gifts to help the poor and needy. While Peter was in Lydda, Tabitha grew weak and died. Her body was washed and placed in the highest room of the house. When the apprentices in Joppa heard that Peter was about 7 miles away in Lydda, they sent two men to summon him, saying, "Please drop everything you are doing and immediately come to us." Peter immediately stood up and went with them. When they got to the house, they went upstairs. All the widows that Tabitha had cared for were gathered there, and they began showing Peter all the clothes she had made for them. Peter had them all leave the room, and then he kneeled and prayed to the Father. After a time, he turned to her body and said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. Reaching out his hand, Peter helped her stand up. Then he called for the apprentices and widows. When they entered the room, they saw Tabitha standing there raised from the dead. News of Peter raising the dead like Jesus had spread throughout all Judea, and many left everything behind to live by trust in the Lord Jesus. Peter then stayed for many days in Joppa with Simon, who had an unclean profession of making leather from animal hides.